The Burt Show.
All right, so I want to test drive a theory on a couple of Burt Show listeners over the next couple of days. And this is not my theory. This is a theory that came from Bitterball, from a really, really drunk Burt Show listener late in the night. And I think I sifted through the inebriation and the slurring to get to what she was saying. And at the root of it, it made sense to me. But I thought I would like to at least try it.
Okay.
All right. So she corners me and she listens every day. And, you know, the more alcohol you have in you at an event like this, the more people will open up to you about what they think of the show or how they can help out, especially if they're a big time listener. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So she said to me that she realized, at least this is what I think she was getting at, she realized years ago that she had more confidence in her everyday life if she went to bed wearing sexy clothes, even if she was alone.
Even if she was alone.
Okay.
Okay.
So she's there by herself in her one-bedroom apartment. There's no man there. There's no husband. There's no boyfriend. There's no nothing. But she realized that if she gets herself all dressed sexy as though something was going to happen, like she put some stuff on from Victoria's Secret, that she would get up the next morning and she felt more confident all day long.
Hmm. That's funny.
I could totally.
That's actually a great theory.
Yeah, is it?
I could totally understand that.
Why?
Because I think it's all mental. Like, you know how it is when you are going out anywhere. You're going out to steal something from Lowe's or have a big fancy date night out or go to work or whatever you're going to do. You know that when you put on the outfit that fits perfectly and looks perfectly and you look in the mirror and you're like, wow, I came together nice today. Like, then you just feel – you walk a little taller. You know, a little more of a strut. And I just think it's a mental thing. So I think applying it to the night before, if you look good in that stuff and you put some out, you put an outfit on that makes you look great at night and you feel good and confident in that, then there's no reason when you wake up the next day that you would not feel the same way. Do you know what
I'm
saying?
Kind of carries over.
Yeah, let me get the phone number. 404-741-Q100 because I'm looking for three single women to try this on.
Okay.
Cool. That you're not going to have a guy over. You're not putting this stuff on for your boyfriend. This is strictly for you and you only. And you're not wearing it the next day either. At least that's what I didn't. I mean,
you don't
have it on underneath your clothes.
No, you just wear it to bed.
You're just wearing
it
to bed at night, and in the morning you take it off, and then you'll have a different attitude the next day. But I would like to test that for a whole week.
The girls that you need, though, are girls who normally go to bed wearing, like,
sweats.
An ex-boyfriend's boxer
t-shirt.
Shorts and an old
shirt. The big dumpy t-shirt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you need
the old mixer t-shirt that you've had since, like, 1996 that
faded
just won't go
stained,
away. Like, the paint is sort of, like, chipped off of it and stuff.
Yeah.
Those things are really comfortable for some reason, though.
404-741-Q100. What I'd like to do is like talk to three women today and then have you do it all week long and then talk to you next Monday right around the same time to see if we could turn our theory into reality. Like, this would be a piece of advice that we could give to women.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Rachel, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've actually done it before and it's really helped me out because there'll be times when, you know, you just feel really dumpy about yourself, and when you go to bed like wearing that and you wake up the next morning, you just look at yourself like, God, I'm sexy. It just gives you that push for the rest of the day, that, you know, gives you a strut in your step.
Huh,
really?
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. I love it.
It's a great idea.
I feel the same way about shaving my legs. I know that sounds really dumb, but like if I have shaved my legs,
freshly
I
shaven
like,
legs.
Feel better throughout the day. Isn't that weird?
I don't know. I don't shave my legs. Is it weird, Melissa?
I could say, I mean, if you're just, yeah, I mean, if you're put together, I guess.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's the same with a guy. Like, if you were a clean-shaven dude and then one day you don't shave, then maybe the rest of the day,
you don't have the same confidence.
You don't feel together.
Good morning, Kim. You're on Q100.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Okay, Kim, you are single?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, normally, this... Will you ask her what she wears to bed? Because
normally,
for me,
normally, what are you sleeping? What are your PJs?
Just like a t-shirt and yoga pants or something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
And you've got the sexier lingerie and stuff like that somewhere in the back of your drawer, right?
Yeah. I've only been divorced a couple of months, so I'm still in that man-hating stage.
Okay.
Okay.
And you've got a drawer full from your
there.
Lingerie shower back in the day.
It's dusty, but it's there.
It's dusty.
Well, dust it off and start sleeping in it.
All right, yeah, here's what we're going to ask you to do. Go ahead, wash it. And then put it on for the next five nights or seven nights or whatever, and we'll check back with you next Monday. And we'll see if it not only gives you like this inner confidence just walking around, but like business wise, because this is what the listener slurred to me, mm-hmm. is that it helped her out in all sorts of ways. Not only did she feel sexier in the morning and she felt like she had this different kind of mojo,
yeah.
But in business, when you're a more confident woman, you are better at business.
Okay. So like all day long, I'm going to be all that.
Supposedly, yeah, if you wear,
yeah. if you sleep in this, then the next day the confidence will last all day long.
And I think when Bert says take it out and wash it, you also want to make sure because it needs to make you feel good and feel sexy. So right. if you've got some 1876 corset lace me up stuff,
no,
okay,
unless that's your thing,
unless it makes you feel sexy. I've
been really young in 1976.
Well, I will say, too, is that you know how women tie emotions to everything? Mm-hmm. So if some of those pieces are too tied to experiences with your ex-husband,
that's a great point.
You may want to ditch those
that's
and get some
point.
New ones because I know if I was putting on something, oh, I wore this on my honeymoon, mm-hmm. all I would think about is the honeymoon and the person that you were wearing
good
it
point.
With, you know, your ex-husband. So if that's going to bring you down, you got to get some new stuff.
All right, Kim, hold on one sec, all right? We want to get your phone number. We'll call you back next Monday.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
Good luck.
Good morning, Amber. You're on Q100.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
All right, the theory here is that if you dress sexy to bed, nobody around, mm-hmm. you're just doing this just for you, that you'll be a more confident woman the next day. Do you buy it?
I'm willing to give it a try.
Okay.
Because if it's something that, you know, I really feel good, then maybe I'll keep doing it.
So what do you normally wear to bed?
A giant T-shirt.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
That's my pajamas.
But you've got the nicer stuff, right?
Yeah, I have the good stuff. I just don't break it out quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, here's perfect reason. Just wear it for the next 7 nights or 6 nights, and we'll check back with you on Monday.
Okay.
And we'll see if you have just a little more confidence about you.
All right, I'll do it.
Okay.
She seemed all nervous.
Yeah.
She's scared to be like, alone because her house is going to catch on fire, and they're going to go in and try to rescue someone else because she's all dressed all sexy. And she's like, no, I'm just trying to be confident. I'm here
it's
alone.
It's a great theory, though.
Good morning, Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm surviving.
Surviving?
That's not
surviving.
Bad. The bar is set
yeah,
pretty low.
Yeah, I figured I might as well give this a try. I lost my boyfriend on Saturday, and maybe this will help give me a pick-me-up.
He broke up with you?
Oh, it's a long, long story. But, no, basically, went golfing, got drunk, DUI, and we're done.
Okay.
The trifecta of winter. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So the breakup you said happened on Saturday, and you want to try this just for a week to see if it can quickly restore your confidence.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I think Jen's advice to you is probably the best. Like if you use this stuff on.
Yeah. If it's something that you're going to be emotionally connected to with him, if it's going to remind you of experiences with him, then you got to get some new stuff.
Oh, no. I always slept in a big T-shirt and flannel pajamas, like the flannel bottoms. So
All right.
This is something totally new.
Okay. Hold on one sec. I'm going to take one more call. Good morning, Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Kishwana.
All right, Kishwana, you understand how this works, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have a different mojo. The theory is that if you wear the sexy stuff to bed and you're just doing it for you,
right?
That you're just going to have a different mojo and a different confidence about you.
Well, I'm definitely doing it for me because I've been abstinent for almost 3 years. So.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right.
This will spark some sexy in you.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious, like, what happened to spark the abstinence? Was it just a really bad breakup?
No, actually, change in faith.
Oh, is that right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Right, deeply religious people can feel confident and sexy also.
Just so you know, your new faith sucks. I don't even know what it is, but if it doesn't allow you to have sex, just
no, reconsider. Yeah.
You may want to change back.
All right, hold on one second, okay?
Now, look, Christians can be sexy, too.
Absolutely. Hold on. All right, Nikki said she's done this before, and it's worked. Hey, Nikki.
Hi.
Go ahead, just real quick.
It does work. I do it at night when I get up in the morning. I'm like, wow, yeah, because I'm feeling good right now. I do it all the time. It works.
So you just put it on for you.
Yes, it works. It's for me. I live by myself. It works.
And there's really nothing. There's nothing sexual about it, really. You just want to go to bed feeling sexy.
No, because it doesn't make you feel. When you wake up in the morning, you go to the bathroom. You're gonna go to the bathroom. You're like, oh, I look good. That's it works. I guarantee. That lady is telling the truth. It works because I've been doing it for months. It works.
All right,
that's fine.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
All right, so we'll check back with them next Monday, and we'll see if the theory really holds true—that you're just more confident. I'm all for this.
I think it's a great idea.
I'm totally and completely
never
for this
heard
one.
Of it, but I think it's a good theory.
The Bert Show.
Good morning, Lena. You're on Q100. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
All right, Tracy tells me that you got a one-year anniversary coming up this weekend, but it's not like, oh, we've been together for a year.
Exactly. It's a breakup anniversary.
A breakup anniversary.
All right, well, first we have to have a little history here. How long were you going out with dude?
For 3 years, and then we broke up almost a year ago, and just like the past year, I've just been miserable, and I haven't been dating. And Valentine's Day was just, I guess, when I hit bottom. And now I'm like, you know what? Forget this. I'm not going to mope about this guy anymore. It's over. I'm getting back out there. Mm-hmm. And I have 4 dates lined up for this weekend.
All right. Good for you.
This is the way to come out of it right here.
Is that intentional or is that accidental that they all happen this weekend?
No, it's intentional.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say you have or have not been dating up until this point. Like, will these be your first 4 dates after the breakup from last year?
Yeah, so it's like 4 years since I've been out there.
Right, now, on paper, I love this because it seems like a great idea. And if you're going to come out of this thing, come out of it strong, man. 4 dates.
Exactly. It was one after the other.
Because one won't do it.
It's a slump buster.
It's 4 straight days of slump busting, though. So we figured this could go one of 2 ways. Either, you know, you're going to kind of like force yourself into getting over it, even though it's been a year. Get yourself over it and start getting out there. Or after the second date, you're going to be miserable going, this is the best Atlanta has.
This is it.
I'm back in this world right now.
I think that would happen if it was only 6 months or less. But I think after a full year, she was obviously ready to move on. That's why she initiated all this. I think that we had mentioned before that it's smart to have 4 dates in a row because the first one, like you said, if it's just one, it would be awkward. It'd be weird. She's like, you know what? Forget this. I'm going back and doing whatever I was doing. But 4 in a row, by the 3rd or 4th date, it should have been fun by that point.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think. Hey, Lena, good morning. You're back on Q100 in the Burt Show. What's up?
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm actually good.
Good.
I did well.
You did well.
Awesome. Yes.
All right, let's go through all of these one at a time here, because there were 4 lined up, and these were supposed to be on 4 consecutive days, right?
Yes, it's like a marathon.
Okay.
So the first one was pretty casual, which was fine, which is a good way to start. It was really like a happy hour, date, and I brought my friends and he brought his, so it wasn't... It wasn't even really a good date.
All right.
Okay, and let me ask this one more time. I know you answered this. I just can't remember how you did. Did you line these guys up from least excited about to most excited about?
I didn't, no.
Okay.
That was your suggestion, though.
You know, that was a good suggestion, but no, I didn't get a chance to do that. I just kind of threw them all in there.
Okay.
So anyway, this was the coworker, so it was cool that it was like no pressure, and we didn't really hit it off, so it was fine. So it was kind of like we can act like we didn't even go on a date.
The work
won't be weird.
How long did this like group date last?
It was from about 6:30 till like 10 or a little bit after.
All right, 3.5 hours.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
3.5 hours you can never have back.
It was definitely fun. I mean, we all had a good time. Our friends got along. You know, so it was cool.
Right.
But definitely not really a date.
Okay.
This is why, as a sidebar here, if the whole world would just listen to me about dating. You have to come on it.
You're so exhausted by this.
You're just exhausted
by people who just don't pay attention to you.
You know? And these ideas are so out of the box that they'll never be adopted. But if we could just check in with each other on 30-minute increments on dates, and each has the right to say, look, this is either going great or, you know what, you seem like a great person, but you're just not for me. And you walk away with no social repercussion. That's 3 hours out of your life that you could have saved. And here's 3.5 hours on a dude that she's never going to go out with again.
One is a group thing. Two is a coworker. So there would be repercussions with a co. First, I mean, it is kind of a risky idea to go out with a coworker, but I do think she handled it well. I do think the first time out, it was group, coworker. Cool,
right.
Everything's easy. I see what you're saying in any other situation. But.
Very high school-y.
Well,
not even anymore.
It's 20-somethings now, you know, that do this. And I think it was good for her to do that the first time out.
And the group date is safe. That's a nice safety net right there.
Totally safe. But Friday night, I had a real date. And I really liked this guy.
All right.
He picked me up like 8 o'clock. We went out for dinner. Then we went out for drinks after. We were together till, like, I didn't get home till, like, 3:15.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that one was nice. And we had a little kiss in the car.
So that was good. But I really like this guy. Like, this guy wins.
Okay. Friday guy wins.
He won Lena Idol.
He's the only one I'm going out with again. But anyway, okay, so Saturday was high school. We went out for dinner and a movie, and it was just, the conversation was boring. I felt like I was kind of on an interview. Like, it was just.
No chemistry.
Like, questions, but no chemistry. Yeah, it was just bad.
See, here again with the half an hour contract.
That would have saved me, yes.
Right.
You agree, and he agrees at half an hour that, look, this isn't going to work, right. So let's just go our separate ways. And you save all that time on your deathbed.
Exactly. Okay. Then Sunday, I guess after the Saturday date, I was like, you know what, I can't risk another date that's bad, so I canceled the Sunday guy. And I called the Friday guy.
Oh, right.
And I invited him to brunch.
Yeah, 3 and 4 never had a chance if 2 was that great.
Yeah.
So we had a great time. We went out for brunch, and then we went to a movie after. We spent, like, all of Sunday together. But the funny thing is that we saw the same movie Sunday that I saw with the bad date on Saturday.
Oh, no. Well, at least cleanse the experience.
What?
I said, at least cleanse the experience of the bad date.
Did you pretend like you hadn't?
I pretended like I hadn't seen it, because I didn't tell him. Awesome. I don't want to tell him, like, oh, I was on 4 dates this week. You know what I mean? So I just kind of, I'm not going to tell him.
There is a certain amount of, like, because I really believe if you're single that you should be able to tell other people that you're dating somebody else, you know, just so long as you're honest about it. But I think if you come back with a number that is like 4 in 4 days, I think that's pretty much a turnoff for just about any guy.
I do too. It'll be our secret.
Okay.
So you will continue to pursue number 2?
Yes.
Good.
Good for
really.
You.
Okay.
Friday guy is winning.
Yeah.
And he'll always be known as Friday guy.
Yeah.
Like
he
when
will.
You go on
That's
Moment of Truth.
My friends, totally.
Were you ever in love with Thursday guy? That'll be your question.
So I guess the lesson to be learned here is there is like some kind of comfort in numbers that if you throw enough out there, at least 1 out of 4 dates has to be like follow upable.
And who knows? It could have been the confidence that she brought, you know, with having 4 dates lined up and just sort of that air of confidence. Like, oh, well, if this doesn't work, then something else will. And maybe it's that confidence that made it so great with Friday guy.
That definitely helped, yeah.
This goes along with the mojo conversation that we had earlier this morning, this confidence conversation that we had earlier this morning also, because this seems to be such a large part of dating and feeling good, obviously, about yourself is confidence. And we tried this experiment earlier this morning with great success also.
Yeah, with the lingerie thing, where women that were single were wearing their sexier lingerie to bed at night, just by themselves, and just tried it for a week to see if it changed their confidence throughout the day. And all 3 of them said it worked. So,
nice.
Yeah.
So you combine that with the advice that you're given. Like, I mean, I had a whole bunch of dates lined up, and here it made me more confident because if Thursday didn't work out, I had Friday lined up.
Right.
Right.
Because inevitably with this dating, it's all about confidence and how you're feeling about yourself.
It definitely is, yeah.
And I'm glad you did it because if you had just gone on that first date, if you had just set one thing up and it was that first one, then, you know, it would have been back to square one.
Totally. I would have been so discouraged because I would have been like, oh, it's not even a real date. This is how people date nowadays. You know what I mean? Like group dates. Because it was his idea. I was like, oh, bring some of my friends. And I was like, all right, whatever.
That's nice. It's a safety net right there. Now, I wonder if we're having the same conversation with a guy. Does it feel the same? Does it have the same texture? Or would you guys be all over him going, oh, stop being a whore. You have 4 women lined up in 4 days. Or does it work both ways?
I think it works both ways, especially if he had been out of the breakup and had a miserable year like she did. You know,
it also depends on what he says his intentions are. He's like, yeah, we'll get 4 times this weekend. But if he's like, I'm going to go out with 4 different girls and I want to pick which one of these are like the best, and then that's who I'm going to, you know.
Right.
Then I think that's a different... Mm-hmm. But guys wouldn't say that. Like, yeah, you got 4 dates of drinking. That's 8 boobs.
Boob math. It always comes down to boob math for us. All right, Lena, thank you very much for the follow-up. I like to hear that. Thanks so much.
Okay, cool. Thanks, guys.
Congratulations. Yeah. Hope it goes well.
Yeah, call us from time to time and let us know how it's going with Friday, guy.
Okay, I will. Totally. Thanks.
All right, Lena, thank you.
The Burt Show.
I am not married. I do not have a husband, but I know here on the show that Jim and I have gotten in arguments with Jeff and Bert over issues of marriage and household chores or things that husbands don't do that women get frustrated by. And then it is, I think it's a universal thing where everybody, whether you're married or not, at least if you've been in a relationship, dealt with somebody for a long enough time, you try to bring two people into a situation, you know, each one wants to have their way, and then you have to work out some kind of compromise. Well, I read an article in Newsweek this week about this new book about this woman who decided as a wife what she was going to do in order to get her husband to do these things that she wants to do. And she decided that she's going to train him like a dog. Okay. She is a journalist that actually went out, and her initial story was animal training. So she spent about a year or so in doing a story about animal training, and then decided, you know what? These same techniques that they use to train animals could actually be used to train my husband.
Okay. Now, at first, it's kind of very, at first, it's really offensive to hear you say that, but I will say this, that I even brought this up a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and, you know, the technique with a puppy is when he does something good, you praise it a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And I said to you guys the same thing a couple of weeks ago. When your men do stuff around the house, like they empty the dishwasher, even, you know, if you guys have been doing it most of the time and we don't do it all the time, when we do, much like a puppy, I suggested – go ahead and praise, go over the top praising with us, right? Because that's what we want, just like a puppy.
Well, in the article, there's three main themes that she talks about. And I'll say this, but her name is Amy Sutherland. And I wanted to just say the reason it's such a universal theme, she started this story in the New York Times back in 2006. So 2 years ago, she wrote this story about this, and it became the most emailed news story that year. Mm. And so now she's got a new book out this week called What Shamu Taught Me About Life, Love, and Marriage. And they've actually got a movie deal going on.
Nice.
So,
good for her.
So, yeah.
So, are these like big, like general themes or like practical things we can put into use? Because I will try to use them.
Well, this,
today, as long as everybody promises not to tell Ryan that I'm going to try to train him like a dog.
Well, when you rub his face in his pee spot on the floor, he's going to know.
He's going to know, don't ever do that again.
Right.
Right. Well, now, going on what Bert just said, the first thing in the article it says is reward positive behavior. It says if your mate picks up just one dirty sock without being asked, give him lots of praise. So,
I totally agree with that.
Like, what kind of praise so it's not condescending? Because I can already hear my condescending tone, and I haven't even thought of the words to use yet.
Like, Jeff, if you as the husband wanted sincere praise for doing something pretty superficial like that, like just picking up a sock that you normally wouldn't, how would you want it to sound?
I don't think the words are as important as you being naked is.
Okay.
So, well, I think
who's
a reward.
Got time for that, for every sock.
Hey, if you want the socks picked up,
you want your marriage to work.
Yes. Look, we're both going to contribute here. We're going to pick up the socks.
Okay.
You're going to give up the goods.
Well, she said it's verbal praise, right?
Yes. Wow. Yeah. She said, give him lots of praise when he does something that you like him to do.
So I really appreciate you doing that. Like,
it doesn't
thank
have
you
to
very
be,
much.
I don't even think it has to be
for doing something I've been doing for the last.
Oh,
we're
seeing
seniors,
that last part. Yeah.
Each
other. Yeah. It's not going to go well.
I'm going to keep it silent for that part, but I just have to in my mind. That's what's going to be going on.
I think if you just say thank you because I know that I know when Jessica is thanking me for doing something that's not that big of a deal, but it still feels good.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So if it's just a situation where I pick up a bunch of stuff that's on the table, like we have a table and near our stairs.
Okay.
Anything that has to go upstairs goes on that table.
Right.
And I usually walk by it 100 times before, but every now and again I'll say, oh, look at that. And I'll pick it up and take it upstairs. And if she says, thanks for bringing that stuff upstairs, I am actually like, wow. Like, she noticed that. That's pretty
cool. Here's the danger zone you're going to walk into with something like that, mm-hmm. where I think most of us are pretty clueless about stuff like that. So when you mention, hey, thanks a lot for picking up that sock, some guys, I think, are going to go, what are you talking about? I do that all the time. And that's when it's going to break off into the discussion.
Yes, I do.
Well, that moves into the second theme of the book, which is ignore negatives. So you talk about everything you've mentioned is how you will finish it off with, even though I've asked you to do that 100 times kind of thing. She says, don't nag about the rest of the laundry. And this is the laundry scenario is what the examples are.
Okay.
So the first one is positive feedback if they pick up a sock. Then you give positive feedback because they picked up the sock. But here's another laundry scenario. Don't nag about the rest of the filthy laundry still piled on the floor. Trainers call this least reinforcing scenario.
So you can say, hey, thanks. I really appreciate you picking up that sock. But did you see that your underwear and your shoes aren't in the closet?
Exactly.
And you're going to go completely positive with that.
So
do you think you can handle it?
No, I know I can't. That's why I'm really trying to channel this and whatever. But I had a discussion with someone the other day about the word nag. and how that's never applied to men. Like that word nag is like a very like gender specific.
They're expressing themselves.
Oh, no. Jessica applies it to me.
She does?
She says, yeah. You nag her?
Yes.
About what?
Random things.
Really?
Like if I'll ask her, like we're looking at maybe getting a boat this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So she ran into somebody who has experience with boats and like knows it is actually on the lake where one of the boats we're looking at is located. So she said, oh, yeah, I'll get his number. And then so I... Like in my mind, and I think it's probably just from being on the computer and the BlackBerry all day, like if I say I'm going to get the number, like I'll just shoot an email off right then, two lines. Hey, can I have your phone number? Somebody else wants it. Boom, boom, done. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas she's like, okay, and then kind of makes a mental note and then thinks. And I think it's because it's a girl thing. Like you have to pick up the phone and call and chat and how are you? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, you know, my husband wants to talk to your husband about the boats. But I will, like, hourly.
Nag her.
Have you heard back? Have you gotten that number yet? Have you gotten that number yet?
That's nagging.
Yeah, and she'll say, stop nagging me about that.
Well, you're the only man on earth.
I was going to say, yeah. I'm really trying to think about any other man that does that.
And this last theme of the book, and again, this book is called What Shamu Taught Me About Life, Love, and Marriage, and this is Amy Sutherland's book, and the last theme that is included in this article is don't take it personally. Again, the laundry scenario. Laundry is just laundry, not a symbol of how much your spouse loves you or values your marriage. I think that's the hardest part.
It's hard not to take it personal.
Everything, right.
But it's hard not to take it personal because it is personal.
Mm-hmm.
How is it?
Why is that personal?
If he feels that way.
If he's been a slob since he was 4 years old, if he's still a slob in the house now, how is that personal to you?
Well, it just feels like he doesn't care about our home or other things or, you know, it just, to me, it is interpreted in a personal way.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I shouldn't, I mean, you guys may be completely right, but I interpret it in a personal way because I feel like I put so much thought and care into the things that I do and the acts of service that I do for him. Mm-hmm. The fact that it isn't returned it feels like a personal insult.
Even though it's probably not.
It carries the messages of I don't care, but it probably doesn't.
But I think
I interpret it that way.
But I think it's important to note that Jen's not the only woman that feels that way.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, and I think that guys
wrong.
And I think yeah. I think guys don't understand that a woman is taking it personally when you don't, you know, everything. When you don't put the cap back on the toothpaste.
Y'all got to lighten up. Like,
stop nagging us.
Yeah.
It just sends the message of I don't care. I don't care about our things. I don't care about our house. I don't care about you. That's the message it sends.
How do we make you understand that that's not the message? The message that it sends is
we're
it's easier for me to put my socks on the floor rather than pick them up and walk them 6 feet to the hamper.
Men, they interpret. They're constantly taking apart the model and seeing how it works and everything, where we don't know how it works. We don't understand. We're just the car rolling
like
gently through life.
But why can't we just tell you that? Like, I don't understand why you still, I mean, how long have you been married to Ryan?
4.5 years.
And you were with him for how many years before that, living with him?
40. Forever.
Okay.
So, since she was born.
Right. So you've been with him 65 years.
Right.
But like, and I'm sure he's told you 100 times, it has nothing to do with you. I just forget. Like, why will you never believe, why do you refuse to believe that?
No, because I think there's capability for compromise.
I'm sure there is. But like when you say, like you're saying now that it's personal.
Yeah.
Like, but it's not. Like it really isn't
has nothing
personal.
To do
like the way guys operate, I just think, here's the, women are big picture, guys are task oriented. So I have this conversation with Jessica all the time. Like where she's, you know, where we're talking about like doing stuff. And I'm like, if there's something sitting on the table to go upstairs and I'm going upstairs to get like, whatever we keep upstairs, a couple of beach towels, right? That's what I'm going upstairs for. I don't even see the boxes that's on the entryway table.
You don't multitask.
No.
Got it.
Well, I
tunnel vision, like those things the horses
Jen,
wear.
Though,
can I take a phone call here real quick first?
Yeah.
Good morning, Wendy. You're on Q100.
Hey, I can identify totally with Jen. And what I call it is the mama boy syndrome. Our husbands are so used to mom doing everything for them, and once they become our husbands, that's what they expect from us.
Well, and then we play into it because we do it all. I mean, you know, we create the scenarios that we live in, you know, and I don't think that, you know, we're completely not responsible for contributing to that.
Hey, Josh, what's up?
Hey, me and my wife, Donna, are sitting here listening now, and see, this is totally the other way around.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, really.
You're the neat Nick?
I'm the one that picks up. I'm the one that washes, you know, cleans the, you know, washes the clothes, washes the dishes. And my wife, I'm fighting with her constantly to get her to pick something up and walk 2 feet and throw it in the hamper.
Laugh. She's laughing at you right now. And with every bit of laughter, he gets closer to the knife.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you can't. It's not like he can go to his buddies and tell him that problem.
No.
Like, so she can. That's why it's okay for her to sit there and laugh at him.
I think it's a whole, I don't know. I think it's a whole generational thing, too, because we're all sort of following in the roles that we had from our parents, which don't really apply anymore. Like, right. We need a whole new model because it's not the same as our Mm-mm. parents, right. You know? It's not the same gender roles as our parents had. It's not the same responsibility levels that our parents had. And we're not divvying it up at home. Like, yeah. And it's a constant story. I mean, y'all know how many years have we been on the air together and how many years have I been talking about this?
As long as you've been married, we've been on the air together.
Well, I started the show before I got married, but
it's all the same concept, though.
What's
the name of the book one more time?
The name of the book is What Shamu Taught Me About Life, Love, and Marriage. It's by journalist Amy Sutherland.
Dudes, I'm just saying, guys, if you see that book laying around the house, you know you're in the process.
Start picking stuff up. Put that away. The Burt Show.